down to Starbucks and text there. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you sure you're with me?
Yeah.
Come on, folks. I'm a pretty nice guy. Anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about faith. Are you ready?
Yes.
Faith that only takes a few. I want to stir us up a little bit, folks. I'm a good guy. I love you. I care about you. I want your best. But I also care about the world that we're living in and the state that it's in. And I believe that we're supposed to do something about it. Are you with me? Faith is an awesome force that does something about it. If you are struggling in some level in your Christian life, as some of you are, a lot of it will come down to an issue of faith. Faith is a strength. Faith is fortitude. Faith is power in your life. You can have more faith if you want more faith, but it's up to you. So this week I'm in a slightly more challenging mode. Is that all right? Now you're going to need that from time to time. If you want to be in a church where I'm just going to stroke you and make you feel nice while you slide your way towards an anonymity and an anonymity, we're not going to do that too well. I want to change your life. I want to do something great for God with my life. I see lots of people achieving lots of great things not for Jesus, and I think, well, if they can do that, what on earth are we doing? Faith is a force. Let's have a look at that. It only takes a few. That's what I'm talking about. And here in 1 Corinthians 13:13, we have this. And now remain these three, faith, hope, and love. Everyone say faith, hope, and love. You've probably heard that phrase before, right? Yeah. Faith, hope, and love. And you've heard it in, probably at funerals and stuff like that where they read all that stuff. But actually, it means something very powerful. Those three things, these three remain. These things have tremendous power. A person of faith is going to outachieve a person of high IQ, high academic qualifications, hard work, lots of money, far and away. And I want to challenge you this morning, and maybe some of the young people amongst us in particular, that we really become serious about grasping faith. I'm into you working hard, I'm into you making money, I'm into you being contemporary, I'm into you having mobile phones. But don't think for a moment that is going to take you all the way through life. I've lived a little bit longer than you, and I've seen a lot of people that start with good intentions and fall by the wayside. I haven't fallen by the wayside. I'm still going strong, and I'm going to get stronger. And one of the reasons is because I've determined in my life that faith is going to matter. Faith is not just, well, we all have a faith. Faith is a force that shifts things. All these three are forces that shift things. They're all life-changing forces. The first one there that's, well, the first, let's go. Love is the greatest because without love, it's all worth nothing. You can be the biggest genius. You can have the most money. You can be Bill Gates. I like Bill Gates, by the way. You can have whatever influence you want. But if you don't actually love people and care for people and for that people matter to you, then it isn't worth anything at all. And I conduct pretty much every week of my life funerals where people have passed away. It's part of what I do. It's part of my service to the community. It keeps me connected with where real people are at. Most of them are not believers. Most of them don't have any connection with church. And I watch and I see people that are 70s and 80s and 90s. And some of them have celebrated famous. Some of them be names you know. Some of them be most of them are names you don't know. But it's amazing when you get to that life, you find out what kind of a life that person lived. And for most funerals, there's less than 15 people there. Because people just didn't achieve that much with their life. I'm not being mean. I care about these people. I'm the guy putting in the time, learning about their lives, studying their lives so I can say something meaningful to those people that are there. So I'm caring, but I'm saying that, you know, life moves pretty quick. And you want to live a life that has impact and force. And most people don't. But let's be different because Jesus loves us. Are you with me? So these things are a great force. Love is the greatest of these. I was at a funeral just this last week and it was packed. There was 120 people. And he was not, he was 80-something, this guy. Not a believer as far as I know. But he had great impact on his family. A lot of people were crying. A lot of people were greatly moved. The service, as far as those things go, none of that you can't ever see. That was a great funeral, but it went positively. But because there was love in that atmosphere and care for people, people remembered. People shared stories about this particular chap who was a grandfather. His daughter had gone through some kind of divorce. I don't really know the details, but she had a three-month-old son. And she had to go back to work to pay the bills. And the three-month-old son's now probably 18, and he came up and read a poem and said a few words. And it was the dad, who was then a grandfather, who then retired, who from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. every day was looking after this boy, taking him to school, bringing him home, hanging out with him, doing all the things that dads would normally do. Well, it's not a wonder that that guy felt like he wanted to say something, felt like he's lost something, see? And so that's why love is so powerful. And I want to tell you something, folks. In whatever you do in your life, make a decision to love people. Most of what we do, let me be honest with you, most of what we do and most of what we preoccupy ourselves with is not worth much if you knew you had 6 months to live. There's a whole lot of priorities you'd change. And for young people, I'm not talking about don't plan long term. You should plan long term, absolutely. But what I'm saying is don't get so enamored by what's short term and temporary that you lose sight of the things that really matter. So love is the greatest of those. Hope is important because hope is a positive expectation of the future. If a person's got hope, they're up. They're strong and they're expecting everything to go good. And things fall over and they say, never mind, tomorrow's another day, we'll be all right. And things go wrong, they'll say, well, we'll find a way through this, it's going to be all right. They just have a positive perspective on everything. That's not faith though. See, most Christians in most churches that I've taught over the last 30 years think that that's faith. And that's why when it comes to faith, they get unstuck, because it isn't what faith is. That's hope. Hope is great. Hope is a blueprint for faith. Hope is the foundation upon which faith can be built. But faith, let's have a look at what faith is. I think I'll go to the next slide. Oh, here's a few intro things. Jesus teaches more on faith than almost anything else. True. Faith is referred to over 200 times in the New Testament. True. There are many facets to faith, just like there are many facets to a diamond. That was my writing. Forgive me. There are many facets to faith. I've taught on faith in some form or another for 30 years, more than 30 years. And I can tell you that you can't ever encapsulate everything that faith is in 1 week or even in one series. But what I'm going to try and do is look at a few of these facets. It's like a diamond. If you have a diamond ring, my wife has a very nice diamond ring. It cost us a lot of money because she was worth it. Ah, yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to get as many as I can. I know which side my bread is buttered on. But diamonds, if you ever see a diamond ring, you tilt it just a little bit and it looks different. You get another facet, the light comes through it differently and it just sparkles. Well, faith is kind of like that. It's just got a lot of facets. And you can't just look at one facet and think that you understand faith. But we're going to try and look at a couple of facets over these next couple of weeks. Is that all right? Yeah. So let's go to this next thing. This is what faith is. Number one, faith is trust. Faith is trust. Everyone say trust. Faith is, that's another a good word for it. In other words, when you trust somebody, you really trust them, then you're at rest. Everything's all right. For little kids, and this is why parenting is so important, for little kids, if they've got a mum or a dad that pretty much does what they say they'll do, they develop trust in their child. Their default is to trust. I remember Chris Vallotton telling the story of, I think it was his half-brother or his younger, what was it, when he's a minister in America and over there, and he was telling a story about he grew up in a pretty smashed-up family. And there was I think it was his stepbrother, but I don't remember. He's much younger than him. He's like 4 or 5 years old. And his father had left, and it was a messy situation. But this kid, like most kids, wanted to trust his dad. So his dad had phoned, either drunk or whatever, and hardly talked to him for weeks on end. And then he said, I'm going to come and see him on Saturday, and I'll pick him up at 5 o'clock. And there, sure enough, the little kid would get out there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with his bag packed and his Superman suit on, sitting on the porch, waiting for Dad to come. 5 o'clock, you'd be sitting there for hours, wait there, 5 o'clock had come, no dad. 6 o'clock had come, no dad. Still sitting there in his little coach, on his little bag. And then Chris, this guy, would come out and he'd say, you know, do you want to come in? Do you think maybe? No, no, dad said he's coming. He's going to come. And this happened time after time. And eventually what would happen, come 9 o'clock at night, little kid's falling asleep, and Chris would come, pick him up, put him up in his bed. And next time, because people want to have hope. See, now you can imagine how shattering that is for the trust of a young person. Some of us have grown up in situations where we find it hard to trust because the people that perhaps we think should have been trustworthy weren't. Can I give you some advice if that's your case? Forgive them and keep moving forward and rebuild that trust on the inside of you, because you need faith. There are some people that have built a whole life, whole ministry just about, out of being hurt, being wounded and being let down. And that's their whole testimony. And you run into people like that. And I'll help anybody I can, but you can't help people that don't want help. You can stay wounded and hurt if you want to. I could tell you a lot of stories. I've got probably better stories than you, let me tell you. And I could start crying just at the drop of a hat if I start going certain places in my thinking. But the fact is that we can choose to move on if we want to. So I've had to work harder than most, probably, to try and develop my faith and get my faith right and get my trust right, because there have been lots of occasions in my life where people I should have been able to trust, I couldn't trust, and they broke my heart. And that's happened to lots of different people. But you can either walk around with a broken heart, or you can say, I'm going to do something about it. God is trustworthy. Let me learn about God. And instead of it pushing me away from God, I let those things push me further in towards God and said, well, I've got to find a way. And listen, folks, that's part of the process of faith, is overcoming doubt and overcoming fear and overcoming negativity. If you feel like you struggle with fear, you struggle with doubt, you struggle with unbelief, which are all the antithesis of faith, then don't feel like you haven't got any faith. That's part of the process, is to build something in you that overcomes that. But at the end of the day, faith is trust. If you can come to a place where you trust God and you just think, you know, Papa has got it in his hands, and you're not trying. Most of us go through this point where we're trying. We all think, oh, we should be feeling like that, but we're not really. Well, then you're on the road to faith, but you're not there yet. When you're in the place of faith, you're at rest. Faith is trust. Second thing faith is faith is conviction. It's being fully convinced. That's a verse there, Hebrews 11:1, that says faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, or the evidence of the thing you don't see. That's the difference between hope and faith. Hope is like this positive expectation. Everything's going to be good. Faith is conviction. You've already got it. I know that it's not somewhere out in the future, one day this will happen. It's as good as done down on the inside of me. Faith is a powerful force. That force of being convinced on the inside that it's already done actually starts to change reality. It actually starts to cause things to move. So a great story is the woman who had the issue of blood. So she's bleeding as a woman, very embarrassing situation, done so for 12 years. Mark 5 is the reference that talks about it. For 12 years she's been like this. She's shunned from society. She couldn't come to church like this, because with that kind of illness you're considered an outcast and you just can't come in. You can't mix with other people, like being a leper. Not only that, whatever money she had, she spent on all the best doctors. They didn't help her, she got worse. Everything's gone. She's got no hope. And then she sees Jesus and she believes. She has this conviction in her heart. She is persuaded. She's not hoping, she's not trying. She absolutely, if I can just touch him, this thing's going to be cured. And she pushes through the crowd, which she shouldn't be around, and she touches the edge of his garment. Some of you know the story. Power flowed out of him into her. He felt the power go out of him. He said, "Who touched me?" And she was all nervous, like people are. And then he turned around and he said to her, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith is what's made you whole." She lived for 12 years. Suffering pain, losing money, no friends, no life, no future. And it all changed like that because of faith. Faith changed the situation. Faith, the force of faith, caused physical things to become different. That's why faith is so powerful. But faith is a conviction. You're fully convinced. Notice this at the bottom. It's a decision, but it's more than a decision. Faith is a decision. If you want to walk in a greater faith, you've got to decide to. You've got to come, and if you hadn't guessed it, I'm trying to kind of convince you to come to that place. I'm just going to keep working on until you get there. But that's what it is. You've got to come to a decision. You've got, and I can't make you, but I can sure encourage you. You've got to decide in your heart, I am going to live by faith. Because actually the Bible said in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. You can't do it. So if you want to please God at all, you're going to have to go by faith anyway. But I would say this, that there needs to be a point, as much as there is a point where you say, I'm going to receive Jesus, there's a point where you say, I'm actually going to live by faith. I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn this. It isn't automatic. It isn't something, there's got to be a conscious decision that I'm going to live by faith. Now, I made that conscious decision when I was very young, my early 20s or late teens. But I made a mistake that I hope you don't make. I thought that faith was just a decision. That was it. I'm deciding I'm living by faith. Good, done. Job done. I'm going to live by faith. And that's a lovely idea, but actually faith is substance. It's not just a nice idea or a commitment. So what I thought was faith kind of fell over quite a few times. And I embarrassed myself numerous times, and I ran out of money numerous times and got myself in a mess numerous times. Because I decided to live by faith, but I didn't realize it was more than a decision. Faith is a substance that you've got to build on the inside of you. You've got to decide it, and then you've got to do something about it. It's a little bit like bodybuilding or getting fit. If you don't make a conscious, definite decision that you are going to get fit and you're going to get in shape, you never will. It's not going to happen by accident. Yeah, that's a wake-up for some people, eh? You're wondering why nothing's happened. Nothing happens until you decide. Isn't that right, Anderson? People are full of good intentions. And people are beautiful, and I love them. But good intentions don't get you the results. You've got to decide you're going to do something. And then, of course, once you decide, right, I'm going to get fit, now I've decided, so now I'm going to the gym, hey, you don't walk in and you've turned into fitness. I just had to turn up and lo and behold, I'm just in great shape. Everything's, no, you're going to have to work. Are you with me? You're going to have to deal with your body. You're going to have to push yourself beyond what you're comfortable in. And it's exactly the same with faith. You're going to have to, you can't just show up and say, oh, I've got faith. No, you're going to have to do the things that are required for your faith to grow. And that means you're going to have to push yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone. Faith is like a muscle. That's what I'm going to talk about in a minute. But that's important that you make a decision and then you act on it. Exactly the same as university. For a lot of us that are either thinking about university or they're going to be at university or they're in university. It's the same thing. If you want to get a university degree, first you're going to have to decide. Anyone ever discovered you're just not going to get there by accident? I'm 40. I always thought it'd be a nice idea, but I just don't seem to have got a degree. Well, did you ever make a definite decision that that's what you were going to do? Well, nobody ever told me that I had to do that. Yeah, well, you do. It's exactly the same with faith. You have to make a definite decision that you're going to live by faith. That this is the lifestyle you're going to... It doesn't happen by accident. And then, of course, you're going to have to come up with some fees and come up with some plans and you're going to have to do all that kind of stuff and it's not going to happen otherwise. But if you put those things into practice and you get your degree, and of course, a degree doesn't solve everything, doesn't answer everything by any means. But I'm just talking about achieving something. You've got to work at it and then you get through it. Well, faith has the same kind of thing. What's the third thing that faith is? Look at this. Boom. Faith is a substance and a treasure within you. What is a treasure? It's the old Gaelic word for treasure. It's a treasure within you that's more precious than gold. Now I'm going to read this to you because this is awesome. 1 Peter 1:3-7. Listen to this, because some of you won't have heard this quite like this. And I think I've got your ears more or less now, haven't I? Are you more or less listening? All right, phones are all still off. Good work. Not combing your hair? Anybody? Good. 1 Peter 1. And verse, what did I say?
3 to 7.
Listen to this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth. We know that. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And into an inheritance. Everyone say an inheritance. Well, that's something that's put aside for you. That's kept, that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed. Through faith. There's a another version talks about you being protected or kept or shielded. So while you're here on earth, you've got an inheritance in heaven. While you're here on earth, though, the thing that's going to protect you or shield you is your faith. So that means if you're a Christian, you could be a really nice Christian, really nice person, really loving, wouldn't hurt a fly. But if you don't have strong faith, you might not get very protected. You could get hammered down here on the earth. And how many people know Christians in the Christian life, and their Christian life is like that? It's from one trial to another trial. It's from one problem to another problem. It's one struggle to another struggle. This isn't working. I don't know why God allowed this. I don't know. I'm not taking the mick. I'm not trying to put people down. What I'm saying is that just because you receive Jesus doesn't guarantee you to be protected from the things that are going to try and disrupt you. Faith is what protects you. Can you see that? Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And really, if you're going to follow Jesus, you'll find that your share of trials probably goes up a notch. Everyone say, bring it.
Bring it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Listen, these have come. Why did these trials come? Well, they came so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though it's refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. That's praise, honor, and glory on your life because you stuck with faith through the trial. Trials came, and faith is this treasure inside you more precious than gold. Faith is this conviction, this come hell or high water, I just can't walk away from you, Jesus. Even though my wife walked away from me, even though my family have abandoned me, even though my religious friends now disassociate with me, even though it costs me everything I have, I just can't walk. There's something in my heart that won't let go of you. That's faith. And that is very precious to God, worth more than gold. And what God wants is for you to get to heaven and get praise and honor and glory. That's what it's talking about. You don't think that guys like Adam, or Abraham actually I'm thinking of, you don't think guys like Adam, guys like David. And I think of people like Nelson Mandela. Now, I don't actually know what his conviction was about the things of God. But you don't think that people go through all kinds of trials, all kinds of difficulty, all kinds of challenges, and they stay true, and they keep going, and they keep growing, and they won't lie down, and no matter how hard they get hit, they just keep going. You don't think that that person is going to turn up in heaven, and God's just going to say, good, nice to see you, yep, take a seat. Those people are going to get praise and honor and glory. God is going to stand there and say, awesome, well done. Put this robe on, put this crown on, put this ring on. I'm so proud of you. That's what he's going to say. And I intend to get some kind of decent reward. Are you with me? And Paul was motivated by the same thing. That's not selfish. That's faith. There is a reason in my life why I keep going when all the things seem to go wrong. And I'm not going into a list of all things go wrong, but lots of things in my life have seemed to go wrong. And there's a reason I keep going, because I'm getting closer to a day when I'm going to get welcomed home, and I want to hear my Father say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and that's worth everything to me. And I want to at least have a conversation with a guy like Abraham. Those people are my heroes. David and Noah. They're all going to be there. I don't want to stand up and turn up in heaven and kind of have like a, can I say this word, like a piddly little testimony of, you know, well, yes, I know, I believe Jesus and he healed my little toe once, praise the Lord, wonderful. Yes, I think, well, I forget the pastor's name, but I did pray for him once or twice. No, I want to get up there and at least be able to say, when Abraham tells me what he went through and how he had to wait for till he was 100 years old for his child and everything was coming against him, but he had this conviction in his heart, and then he blew it really badly and tried to have the child with the wrong woman, and that turned into a whole big, I mean, it got blessed, but it was still a messy situation. And then finally, at 100, he has this child. And all his dreams come true, and it's like, all's worth. And then a few years later, God says, now, you're going to have to kill the guy. You with me? We think we've got it tough. We don't have it tough. Are you with me? For some of us, it's like, oh, getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning, oh, God, it's so tough. No, it really isn't tough. Come on, we're in a blessed country, but let's dig deep. See, the deal is that we've got one shot at this Sunday. I might have a couple more Sundays left in my life, and that could be it. A couple more thousand, I mean. 50 in a year, 10 years, 500, 40 years, 2,000. So if I live to 90-odd, I've got a couple of thousand Sundays left. We're not going to get this one again. So I want to make the most of this day. I want to live, and I know that I'll slip up here and there, and this might go wrong and that might go wrong, but I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to keep my eye on that prize. I'm going to hold on to my faith, because that thing is so precious to God. Are you with me? Faith is precious to God. We're going to wrap up in just a couple of minutes. I've got a couple of quick points. Here we go. Faith is like a muscle. It has strength. It can be large or small, and you can increase it by exercise. So this centurion guy, we don't have time to read that story, but in Luke 7:6-10, there's this centurion who's not what we would call not a Christian, not a believer. He's a Roman soldier. And his child is dying. And he wants Jesus to come like everybody did, because he would bring healing to them, like he still does today, like we've had testimonies, and we have testimonies all the time. And so this centurion comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, look, you don't even need to turn up. You don't need to come and lay hands on my daughter. I just trust you. I know. All you got to do is say the word and she's going to be healed. And he said, I know that because I've got people under my authority. I'm a leader. And if I say do that, they do it. And you've got authority over this whole planet. I can see that. So you just got to say do it. And Jesus saw that as great faith. He said, I haven't seen any faith that big in any of the churches. Like this. So it's measurable. You can have big faith or small faith. There are other times when Jesus said, and you know that, how is it that you have so little faith? He said that to the disciples numerous times. But faith is like a muscle. Get this. If you want it to grow, you've got to use it. So what I'm doing for you now is just kind of like a really good gym coach. You with me? When you're out the front of the class and you're feeling like your legs are falling off, they're saying, come on, don't lie down, that's it, push harder, give me another one, come on, keep going, give me another one. Well, that's great for physical fitness, but I want to press you into faith, because faith is more precious than gold. Physical fitness is a fine thing to have, but it ain't as precious as faith. Are you with me today? And so here we go. We've got this muscle that we can strengthen. Now, this is what you've got to realize. Your muscle, your faith muscle, is at a certain size right now. And there are some things that can lift and some things that can't. And everybody's got faith and everybody's got a measure of faith. But what you receive in your life is directly connected to your faith. What God is trying to do is cause that faith to grow, because it's more precious than gold. And then if you will let the circumstances create or build your muscle, your faith, your treasure of gold stronger, then you get to heaven and he gets to pour on you a great reward. like any good father would want to do. I mean, I try and the best I can to be the father and stepfather to the people that I am. And if they do a good job, man, I cheer. And if they, you know, so Lachlan does this thing with this rugby ball. It's really cool where he threw it from the halfway line. Did you see that? Threw it from the halfway line at a basketball court and got it into the ring. So I just retweeted it, put it on Facebook. The future of Welsh rugby is in safe hands. I said something like that. And just because that was just awesome. It was a little thing, but for him it was a big thing. And he thought enough of it to record it and send it to me. And I think enough of him to tell other people, I think that's great, well done. Are you with me? And if they get certain kind of marks in school or whatever, you just want to, any decent father does that. How much more will God want to do that? He wants to pour reward, blessing. He wants to cheer for you as you come in. T.L. Osborne was one of my heroes, and I met him and prayed with him and talked with him several times, and he's written me lots of letters. Some of you might know of T.L. He went to be home to be with the Lord not that long ago, some 5-6 years ago. And I've often thought, because under his ministry, literally millions of people made a decision to receive Jesus. Literally. Him and Reinhard Bonnke and Billy Graham would have been the three names that we know that would have been responsible for speaking to hundreds of thousands of people at once, night after night, year after year. And when he went to heaven, let me tell you, there's going to be a crowd of people saying, thank you, TL, that you gave up your American comfortableness and your air-conditioned car and your swimming pool in your backyard and whatever else, and you decided that you would come and wear African clothes and learn African languages and write books in your spare time and travel and go year after year, time after time, out of your comfort zone and bring the gospel, whether people paid for it or whether they didn't pay for it. And you both, thank you, because I'm now in heaven because you did that. Don't tell me God ain't going to reward people like that. He's going to cheer for them. And I want you to be cheered for by God. That's why I'm encouraging you to have faith. Faith is like a muscle, whatever. And what God does is he allows things that are just a bit too heavy for us. Just a bit. And you've got to kind of press through and build, but then you get the victory. Are you with me? Of course, his grace is with you. Of course, his favor's on you. There's other facets of faith we're going to talk about. But faith is like a muscle. And here's the last thing, and I'm closing on this point. Faith is what causes you to love for another world, which actually should be live for another world, but that's my typo. You see, I was busy. Faith is what causes you to live for another world. What I've spoken about this morning is to stir you up and remind you that you are not really a citizen of this earth. You're a citizen of heaven. Amen. That if you've met Jesus, this earth is a beautiful place. It's a wonderful idea. But this is not your be-all and end-all. You were created in heaven. And when this show's over, like I get to see every week of my life at different funerals, when it's over, it's over. And you're gone. And people will miss you, but your life will continue. This is a very temporary situation. That's right. And you're making a big mistake, Christian, if you live like this is the most important world, because it isn't. Living for heaven, Mother Teresa, I don't know whether she got a degree. I don't know what she did with her education, and I'm not putting down education, you know that, I believe in education. But what I know is that she gave her life to love people and live for a different place called heaven. Are you with me? That's the kind of life I believe you will be happy with. I don't think there's any Christian that if they don't live that way, they get to the end of their life and they feel like, oh, I could have done better. Or I should have done more. It's not about how much money you raise. I don't have no idea how much money Mother Teresa raised, lived off, or what she did. I know that she sacrificed her life to bring the love of heaven into other people's lives. And when this short life is over, she's going to enter into her real life. It's the same for you. Don't make the mistake of thinking this is the real life. This is just a test run. Heaven is your home. Faith is that thing that grasps it and says, even though it's tough, even though not everyone in my family does it, even though I don't always understand it, I am going to live for heaven. God help me. That's what faith does. Are you with me? Can we have a quick keyboard player there? And we're just going to close. We're done for today. Thank you very much. Close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to do one very simple thing. If in your heart I have been able to encourage you and help you to come to a place where in your heart you feel like, I am going to live by faith. Maybe you've made that decision before. Maybe you never have. But I'm going to ask every one of you to make a commitment in your heart to say, dear God, help me to live by faith for you. To live as a person that came out of heaven, that's going back to heaven, just a temporary resident on this planet. Help me to live for something bigger than just a career and a house and a car and a happy family. Help me to live for heaven. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to. I don't need to pray for you. If you're making that decision in your heart, I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer. It's important what goes on between your heart and God, really. And I hope you're praying with me as I pray. And let's pray together and say, Father God, thank you for loving me. I make a fresh commitment in my heart to live by faith, to cause that treasure that's in my heart, that gold that's pure, to become stronger, to become more wonderful, and Father, to live in a way that pleases you and that changes this world. Thank you for the gift of faith that's in me now. Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Grace. You can all look up. Thank you very much, everybody.